A new way to think about the absence recovery process. One of the biggest headaches in the world of sport and athletics is injury. Sport is plagued with injury due to the heavy demands being placed on the athletes. And to be successful, sports coaches must be skilled at moving their athletes through the rehabilitation process. Can you imagine what would happen if sprinter Usain Bolt had injured himself ahead of the Olympics one year, and his coach just told him to rest and then hoped he'd turn up in peak condition, ready to perform at the big event on the big day? I think that coach would be pretty disappointed. But luckily, this wouldn't happen. His coach would begin the recovery process almost immediately, aiming for a basic level of activity as soon as possible. Now, in the world of work, it's easy for managers to see absence as one singular phase with one set of needs, but employees will have different needs throughout their time absent, and recognising this is key to a successful and long-lasting return to work. Seeing the absence as one singular block means that we overlook how support needs differ throughout the recovery process, meaning the support may become inadequate. Viewing absence as one block also means managers risk falling into the trap of staying too long at the initial phase of absence, which sometimes requires maybe a day or so or a day or two to allow the person to step back from their daily pressures and just regroup. It's also too common to see this stage be allowed to expand and expand into weeks, missing out on valuable time that could be spent rebuilding rather than just resting. And remember, lots of bed rest used to be touted as the best thing for bad backs. Do you remember that? But now we know that's one of the worst things you can do when you've got a bad back. So here's a list of the six recovery stages I sort of mentally follow when I'm coaching an individual back to work fitness. Just give you an idea. Stage one, immediate absence. That's maybe the couple of days breathing space to regroup, like I mentioned. Phase two, early recovery. This is where we create a recovery plan and we put it into action. Phase three, advanced recovery. This is where the recovery plan is firmly established and it's up and running. Phase four, pre-return. This is where the recovery plan has worked, so the individual's now ready to start planning a return. Phase five, early return. This is back when the individual's back in work on a phased return. And then phase six, this is where the individual's fully active. So the return here has been successful and preventative measures are in place, such as a wellness recovery action plan to prevent anything happening again. Now, these stages, they're not about time, although the first one should ideally be, the regroup should be as short as possible. They're not about time. They're about where you and the individual feel that they're at. Each of the stages is fairly distinct from the others, and so the needs of the person will also be different at each stage. And being able to state where you're at can guide decision-making and conversations around the best way to support the individual. For example, suggesting the individual begin a phase return, which is stage five, wouldn't have a very positive effect if you're actually in the early recovery phase stage, which is stage two. If you catch my drift, it's all about matching with the stage. Now, different individuals will have a different experience of moving through the phases in terms of time spent in each one, the support needed, coping strategies, and any other biopsychosocial factors relevant to recovery. Everybody's different, but they'll all go through some form of recovery process, but it'll just be unique to them. So to recap then, seeing this recovery process in stages allows managers to tailor their support throughout, as well as avoiding staying at that immediate absence phase, a couple of days or a day or so just to regroup, avoiding that for staying there for too long, based on the assumption that a few days rest will result in an effective return to work, which in most cases that probably isn't going to be so. Recovery is a process, and the more effective the support given during this process, the greater the chances of a faster, healthier, and more long-term return to work, where the individual feels rejuvenated, rebuilt, happy, healthy, and positive about a return to their working life. So have a think about any currently absent employees within your team, and ask yourself what stage you think they might be at in the recovery process, and whether the current support they're receiving is optimal, and if not, how might it be improved? And don't forget, as always, the best person to ask is the individual themselves. If you'd like to get your copy of my free report, 3 Mental Health Myths Every HR Professional Needs to Know, just click on the link in the text below and I'll get your copy over right away.